Well, today we're concluding our message series on fear, because there's a lot of things to be afraid about in this world today. And we've been looking at the story of the birth of Jesus, and amazingly, three different times an angel of the Lord appears during the story of the birth of Jesus, and each time the angel appears, he starts his message with the same thing. You remember? The angel says, "Do not be afraid." Now that's the NIV angel. The King James angel, remember him? He says, "Fear not," which is really comforting, or should be, that an angel would appear and tell us to fear not, because there are so many things that are unsettling in the world today. I mean, there's like economic fears, and there's relational fears. Is my marriage going to work out? There's the direction of the country fears. There's the direction of our kids fears. There's worries about our health or the health of someone we love. January credit card bills. Afraid of losing a loved one. Going broke. Unusual things. Afraid of heights. Afraid of flying. How about spiders? And then there's odd things like, I know this is crazy, but anybody afraid of pickles? That's a weird thing. Like, afraid of pickles? It's weird, but it's actually a thing. It's called dillophobia. There's also people afraid of clowns, which makes more sense after, you know, if you've seen the movie It. I mean, Pennywise scared me to death. Clowns, fear of clowns is a real thing. It's a real thing. I want to talk today, though, about one fear that a lot of people have. It doesn't actually come up a lot. It's often kind of below the surface, and it's the fear that many people don't acknowledge until maybe they're at a funeral, or, you know, there's a scary health issue, or they find themselves in a close call. But it's the fear of people wondering, where do they stand with God? If something were to happen to me, where would I spend eternity? Would I spend eternity with God in heaven? Or would I be separated from God in hell? And this is really, really scary when we think about it, because we know what we've done. We know all the bad things that we've done. And sometimes people may not feel close to God and not sure where you stand with God. So when you pause and think about it, a little bit of concern comes in. Where do I stand with God? So I'm going to show you a text today that I'm praying will build your faith. When an angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds and said, "Do not be afraid." So the title of today's message is When You Don't Feel Good Enough for God. We're going to look at Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. And here's what Scripture says. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were freaking out. That's what the word means in English language. They were terrified. But the angel of the Lord said to them, "Do not be afraid." What did the angel bring to them? The angel said, I bring you good news. And what will it cause? It will cause great joy for some people, for all the people. Don't be afraid. Fear not. I'm going to bring you the best news you have ever heard. It's the good news, and it's for everyone who will ever live. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. Today I bring you good news. A Savior is born. If that's good news, I want to know more. But it actually raises some questions. If we're being saved, I want to know what we're being saved from. And why did this God send his angels to shepherds? Which is interesting, because if I'm God and I'm bringing the good news to the world and I'm sending the angels, I'm probably going to send them to someone from the religious sect. Like, I'm going to send the angel to the priests or the scribes or to the Pharisees. But the angel of the Lord appeared to shepherds, which is really, really weird. If you know how people thought of shepherds during this time, they were considered to be the lowest rung of society. And most people just naturally hated the shepherds. Okay? So why did the people not like shepherds? Well, they used to for years back during the time of the patriarchs. Shepherds were actually respected. They had status. They had wealth. And they were admired. But what happened is when the 12 tribes of Israel migrated to Egypt, suddenly there was a very different economy. The Egyptians were into archaeology. They were into agriculture. The sheep destroyed crops. So suddenly they hated the shepherds and despised them because the shepherds took care of the sheep that destroyed their economy. And so the shepherds took on this kind of, you know, nature of being uneducated, unlovable, and ended up being the people that everyone else avoided. In fact, I'm going to show you three reasons why the shepherds would have likely been so shocked by the angelic appearance and why they would have felt distant from God. In fact, as we look at them, we're going to see some of the same reasons that we might feel distant from God. And they're very similar to why some of us might feel that distance from God. The first thing is they felt unworthy. Now, I wonder how many of you have ever thought about your standing before God and felt unworthy of his love and unworthy of his goodness. The shepherds felt very unworthy, and it was because of the nature of their job. Because they were tending sheep, and the sheep were known as ceremonially unclean animals. The shepherds were considered, therefore, unclean. In other words, if you worked with sheep, you couldn't attend the temple for a long time. And so the message was very, very clear. You are too dirty for God. That's what they felt. If you've ever felt that way, I can relate. And you may be able to relate. It may be some private sin, some secret addiction, something that you continue to do, that you know you shouldn't do when you've tried to quit and you can't seem to quit. could be a secret thought. It could be something that you did years ago and you feel incredibly guilty about it. And no one knows, but you know, and it weighs on you. Or it's not private. It could be public. You filed for bankruptcy and you're incredibly embarrassed and humiliated by that. Or you cheated on your spouse and everybody knows about it. Maybe it's something that may not have entirely been your fault, but you ended up divorced and you feel like you let God down, or you let your spouse down, or you let yourself down. And there's a sense of unworthiness and shame. It could even be something as small and silly as you're at church smiling today and people ask you, how you doing? Merry Christmas. And you give them that typical Merry Christmas smile. Merry Christmas. Praise the Lord, brother. You know, we're so glad to celebrate the birth of Christ. And you almost killed a kid on the way to church because you were running late. Shut up, kid. We're going to go worship Jesus. Be quiet back there. For I kill you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you're going, I'm supposed to be joyful. And yet, here we are in the middle of Christmas. And we're fighting like crazy. The shepherds felt unworthy. And like you, you may feel that way as well. Another reason they might have felt distant from God is they felt very, very inadequate. They were programmed to believe that they simply weren't good enough. They were uneducated. They weren't allowed to go to the schools, and so they always felt less than. They were considered very untrustworthy. Shepherds were, they weren't even allowed to testify in court. So if a shepherd saw a crime go down, the shepherd couldn't testify. People wouldn't buy property from them because they were afraid the property was stolen. And so they felt incredibly inadequate. They were on the bottom rung of the social structure. They were considered equal to tax collectors, dung sweepers. That's the people that sweep the poop off the ground. To prostitutes. And if a shepherd was coming, the people were taught to take your children and walk on the other side of the road so you don't get close to them. Some of you might feel a little bit the same way. You just compare, like when you look at social media, you can look at how everybody else's life's amazing. Your life sucks, right? Just like normal comparing, you feel less than. You look at people and they seem to be better educated. They know more, or they make more money, or, they've got more gifts under the tree, or they've got more friends or more followers or more hair, and you got hair. It's just all in the wrong places. Like you got hair on your back and you got hair in your nose and hair in your ears, not on your head. You're going, why? I feel so completely unworthy this way. It could be a sense of spiritual unworthiness. In your own life, you think, but I don't read God's word much. And I'm supposed to be a mature Christian, but I recognize I'm really not that mature at all. And I'm smiling in church, but deep down feel very, very far from God. They felt unworthy. They felt inadequate. And finally, they felt unloved. They felt unloved because everywhere they went, people would avoid them like crazy. They weren't welcome in the temple. They weren't welcome in the marketplace. They weren't wanted in the families. No father would want his daughter to marry a shepherd. And some of you might feel this way. We feel unworthy. We feel inadequate. We feel unloved. I mean, here we are in the Christmas season, and Christmas in many ways is a magnifier. It makes the good times really good, but it makes the painful times even more painful. And some of you may feel a little lower right now than when everybody else, you know, peace on earth and joy and goodwill to men. You're like, it's not so joyful at my house right now. Maybe your spouse left you and you wonder, what could I have done better? And now you're a single parent, you know, going, I can't do it all on my own. Maybe you made some financial mistakes, and then it's compounded by the Christmas pressure to buy more and more and more. Then you feel like, I'm failing the people that I love the most because I can't provide for them in the way that I want to. And it may be you sit by the tree with people that you love and you smile, but on the inside, you're really, really hurting, carrying a burden that you can't share with anybody. And you're feeling like, well, if they reject me, and I know I'm not good enough, and I don't even like who I am or where I am, how could God love me? How could he accept me? And an angel of the Lord appeared to shepherds, the lowest of the low, and said, I've got good news for you. I've got really good news for you. And to every single one of you, to the one who's hurting the most, on behalf of God, I bring you good news today. There is a Savior that's been born, and when you know him and accept his love and his goodness, you will never be the same. If you feel it under the surface every now and then, where do I stand with God? I want to show you the incredible, indescribably good news of a God who loved you so much that he sent his one and only Son, Jesus, born of a virgin, so he would not inherit the sin nature, who gave his life for you so you could be right with God. I want to show you three thoughts on the good news of being right with God. Let me show you from God's Word, from Romans chapter 3. This is amazing news. This is the good news of the gospel. For no one, and this includes you, can be made right with God by doing what the law commands. In other words, no matter how hard you try on your own, you can never be religious enough to live up to God's standards. Well, that's discouraging. Why do we have the law? Well, the law simply shows us how sinful we are. Okay, great. So step number one, we suck. So where do we go from here? But Thank God for the but. But now. That sounded weird. Just work with me, all right? Just come on and work with me. I've already told you I'm inadequate, right? Thank God for the but. You can touch your neighbor and say, thank God for the but. Okay? Let's just go with it. Thank God for the but. Okay? But now we suck. But God has shown us a way to be made right with Him. The righteous judge, the great I am, our heavenly Father, the creator and sustainer of the universe, has shown us, sinful us, broken us that says words that we shouldn't say, thinks thoughts that we shouldn't think, treats people in a way that we would never want to be treated. God shows us a way to be made right with Him without keeping the requirements of the law. Scripture says we are made right with God by doing what? By being good enough? By being faithful enough? By never doing the wrong things? No. By placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true, not just for Methodists, or not just for Baptists, or not just for, you know, Pentecostals, or not just for those who try really hard, or not just those who give enough money. But this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who you are. To make it really, really simple, let me show you the good news of how you're made right with God. Thought number one is you cannot earn God's acceptance by observing the law. No matter how hard you try, no matter how good you are, if you're better than the person sitting to your right, if you're better than the person sitting to the left, you're still not good enough. The Pharisees, they tried hard. They had 613 laws they couldn't live up to. We got it easier. We've got 10 commandments. If you're keeping half of those, you might be doing pretty good. Then Jesus simplified it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. How are you doing on that one? Not very well. You cannot, no matter how hard you try, no matter how righteous you are, live up to the standards of God's law. And Scripture says it this way. Look at it again. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. Now that sounds discouraging. Why the law? Number two, to be very, very clear, to make sure we all are on the same page, the purpose of the law is to show you your need for a Savior. The law shows you that you're not good enough and you need someone who was good enough and is good enough. Scripture says it this way, for no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. Now, interestingly enough, in culture today, if you say you sinned against God, a lot of people are going to push back. And they're going to say, no. Sin is relative. No sin. We need to understand that even though sin may be unpopular today, sin is a very real word in God's word. And it reflects our state that when we are born from two sinners. We actually inherit a sin nature. When Adam sinned against God, he passed down the sin nature to everyone who ever lived, except for one, spoiler alert, we'll get to that one in a minute. We've all sinned. Now, there's a guy named Ray Comfort who's an evangelist on the street, not in this country, and he asks these questions to people. And I think it's pretty creative. I've done this before, and I'll ask them to you. He says, have you ever told a lie? Have you ever told a lie? If you have, you can raise your hand, and if anyone doesn't have their hand up, you can point to them and call them out and say, you're a liar. Just say, liar, liar, pants on fire, okay? So we put our hands down. Have you ever stolen before? Raise your hands. Most people have. Some of you haven't. That's amazing. So, and then have any of you ever, and on this one, don't be raising your hands. Maybe just a finger, because I don't want you to raise your hand. I don't want any Christmas fights. But just like no one's working, I'll just, put your hand on your chest, just like, And nobody look around. Everybody look forward. Don't look at your spouse. Anyone ever lusted before? Some of you are like, okay, whatever. So that was really weird. Sorry. But what Ray Comfort does then is he says, if you've told a lie, you're a liar, right? You're a liar. If you've ever stolen, what are you? You're a thief. You're a thief. If you've ever committed lust, Jesus actually said this, if you've lusted after another person, you've committed adultery in your heart, according to the definition of the Son of God. If you've lusted, what are you? You're an adulterer. So, what are we? We are lying, thieving, idolatrous, sinning, selfish, hating, murdering. If you hate in your heart, you're actually, you've committed murder. We are very, very sinful people. And you're like, why are you telling us this at Christmas? And the reason is because it's really, really important. Because if you don't see yourself as a sinner, you won't see your need for a Savior. It's important. Because if you don't see yourself as someone who's fallen short of God's standards, you won't see someone who needs God's help. And so if you can't live up to the law, I would say you don't need religion, which is following a bunch of rules, but you actually need Jesus. So you can't earn God's acceptance by observing the law. And the purpose of the law is to show your need for a Savior. Number three, so important, is we are made right with God, not by our own good works, not by trying harder. We're made right with God by faith in Christ alone. How are you made right with God? We're made right with Him by faith in Christ alone. By faith in Christ alone. I want you to let that sink in, because this is the good news of Christmas. This is the good news of the gospel. This is the best news ever, that you are made right with God by faith in Christ alone. And Paul said it this way, as directly as he could, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are, no matter what you've done. If you feel unworthy, you're made right with God by putting your faith in Christ. Not by making yourself worthy, but by receiving what he did. If you feel unlovable, there is no proof greater that God so loved you that he became one of you. Jesus is actually God in the flesh. And on this Christmas, presents and food and grandma's house and here and there, do not forget the good news of what it's all about. Jesus was born of what? A virgin. Why does that matter? Because he did not inherit the sin nature of an earthly father. Instead, he had the spiritual nature of his heavenly father. Jesus was born without sin, and Jesus never, ever sinned. And the shepherds would have understood this better than anyone, because they knew that once a year, they would take the best sheep, the one without spot or blemish, and people would pay money to buy a sheep to take it to the temple to sacrifice an innocent, clean animal to pay the price, the penalty for their sins. It was a temporary covering for their sins. But Jesus never sinned. And who is he? He's called the Lamb of God, who was slain so we could be forgiven. And God sent an angel to appear to the lowest of the low, the unpolished, unremarkable, uneducated shepherds, to declare the greatest news in the history of the world, that a Savior was born unto you. You don't need religion, you need Christ. And the good news is, Christianity is not really a religion as much as it is a relationship. God is a relationship, and he doesn't want you to join a religion. And now, you know, I'm this type of religion. He doesn't want that. He wants you to enter a relationship where you know him and you receive his love. What is the fundamental difference between religion and a relationship? A religion is about what I do. I have to perform. I have to be good enough. I have to dot the I's and cross the T's. Relationship is about what Jesus has done. It's about his perfect work. It's about his sacrifice. It's about his holiness. It's about his goodness. Religion's all about me. It's my effort. It's my goodness. It's my righteousness. But relationship is all about Jesus. It's his goodness. It's his righteousness. It's who he is as the Son of God. And religion, if you're going to spell it, it would be spelled D-O. It's about what you do or don't do. But relationship is spelled D-O-N-E. Jesus said, it is finished. It's done. The perfect work and the good news is here for you. So, why did God announce it to shepherds? Why didn't he declare it to the royalty in a palace? Instead, to outcasts in a field, so that the world would know that no one is too far from God's reach, and no one is too low for God's love, and no sin that you've committed is too great for God's grace. Because Jesus didn't come for the righteous, but he came for the sinners. He didn't come for those who are perfect and healthy. He came for those who were unworthy and felt unloved and felt like God was too far away. And so the most amazing news you could ever experience on this Christmas is this gift is for everyone who would believe. fear not. Do not be afraid. The angel declares, I have brought good news that will bring great joy to all people. A Savior has been born to you. His name is Christ, Jesus Christ, and He is our Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word and for the presence of your Spirit. We pray, God, that you would show us the true good news. And by putting our faith in Jesus, that we could know that our sins are forgiven and that we are loved and that we are new. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for joining us today, this week. Stay healthy, stay safe. Hope to see you back here again next week.